In Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 25, and some would say this is where the chapter division ought to be instead of the next verse down, but it says, "Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load." I heard a silly story about two men who were afloat in a raft at sea. They had been there for weeks, evidently had enough water and food to survive, but they were still stranded. And so in desperation, one of the men put a note in the bottle and it said, "Help," and he tossed it out in the ocean, and that was all it said, "Help." But the next day he saw another bottle floating and it had a note in it, and he took the cork out and read the note. It said, "Hey friend, this is Dr. Smith. We found your bottle." And he went on to say, "Get plenty of rest, drink lots of liquids, send me another message in the morning." I think that's the standard message anyway. Help. I have a little 2-year-old grandson and he says help a lot. And sometimes it's going up and down the steps, and sometimes it's doing something he's not really supposed to be doing, and he wants help doing that anyway. But together, we bear one another's burdens. And part of being better together is the fact that we help one another. As you read the whole book of Galatians, you see it begins with kind of a problem or a struggle that's going on in the churches there in Galatia. Galatia is the kind of the central part of modern day Turkey, kind of that central region in there. And there are various churches that Paul visited early in his missionary journeys, and the Galatians is kind of written to them as a response to some troubles that have been going on. The first missionaries have told them about Jesus and how he died on the cross, and that salvation is found in Jesus Christ by believing in him. But there were other missionaries that kind of went out from some Jewish communities, and they were telling folks that you could believe in Jesus to be saved, but you also need to be circumcised, and you also needed to follow some of the food laws and the sanitary things. And so there was some confusion. Is it Jesus for salvation or Jesus plus these other things? And so Paul is writing to them saying, don't go back into slavery and being bound up by all of these laws and all of these things that didn't save in the first place. And salvation is in Jesus Christ. And so most of the book of Galatians is about how we are free in Christ, and that there is no male or female, slave or free. There is no Jew or Gentile, but we are all in one because of Jesus Christ. But the last couple of chapters of Galatians are kind of about practical living and how we as believers in Jesus need to walk in the Spirit. And so he kind of is implying that and says pretty specifically that believers ought to walk in the Spirit. In chapter 5, verse 16, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh." And in verse 25 of chapter 5, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And so he's encouraging those who believe in Jesus to allow the Holy Spirit to be their guide and to live in them and be part of who they are day after day, and to live that way. And if we live that way, there will be fruit. There will be results of that. And he lists in chapter 5 the fruit of the Spirit, but he also says if you don't live by the Spirit, you live by the flesh, then there are other kinds of fruit that you'll see. And the acts of the flesh, he says, are obvious. Sexual immorality and impurity and debauchery and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and discord and drunkenness and orgies and jealousies. And he says, I warn you, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, he says, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says, against those kind of things, there's no law. You don't have to worry about following the law if you live by the Spirit. You will automatically do that. And so if we allow the Spirit to be our guide, we find our lives will be better together. We find that our Christian living and our communities and our churches will be better. And so he lists some ways that life can be better as we are together. And he also implies some things that will not be better if we do those things. And so, first of all, he says life will not be better if we follow the desires of the sinful nature. And he listed those things. And we know that if there are things like idolatry or sorcery or hostility or quarreling or envy or drunkenness, those kind of things don't lead to the quality life. And we've been in too many fights and arguments and frustrations and struggles, and we see that on the news. Those kinds of things for the Christian are to be gone, to be nailed to the cross, to be given up. And so as a follower of Jesus, those don't make us better, and we need to live by the Spirit instead. We're not better together, as he says in chapter 5, verse 26, let's not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Have you been around that provocative person, you know, that person who always seems to find some fault or find something to argue or fuss about, that person who maybe is envious or that guy who's proud and he's always better than you or acting like he's superior in some way. And that doesn't lead to being better together. We're not better together as we allow a brother or a sister to crash and burn. Paul writes in chapter 6, verse 1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. And so we're to love one another enough to confront those who are going the wrong way, or those that we've been missing, or those who seem to be struggling with an issue or a sin. We need to be gently helping to restore them. We are to do that with the right attitude. And so he says, those who allow yourself to live by the Spirit, help them and encourage them. We're not better together if we allow them to crash and burn. And we're not better together if we fail to watch ourselves as well. Sometimes we want to help other people, but we get too involved, or we get involved in things that are not helpful. There are temptations, and every one of us is subject to that of one sort or another. And so he writes, he says, but watch yourselves, lest you be tempted. Be careful, because there are temptations that abound, and we are not above temptations. And unfortunately, there have been way too many stories that choir rooms or church offices or sanctuaries or parking lots in the back of the church have become places where things shouldn't have happened, but they did. And too many stories of godly men and women that fall because they weren't being careful about temptations. And so he says these are things that are not helpful. But then there are some things that make life better together. He says, bear one another's burdens. And life is better when we, as a body of Christ, help one another, bear one another's burdens. I shared in the early service, there was a pastor from a generation or two ago. He was walking down the street of Boston there on April the 1st of all days, and he saw a little guy up on the front porch trying to reach the doorbell, but he was too short, and he kept jumping, trying to push the button, and so the pastor thought, well, I'll help, and I'll help him get in the house. And so he walked up the step, and he pushed the doorbell, and the little guy looked at him and said, now run. Life is better when we bear one another's burdens, most of the time at least. What are burdens that people bear? Well, there are all kinds. Financial burdens, people who are struggling to find another meal or struggling to make ends meet, to pay their rent. And there are those whose daily lives are about, what am I going to find today? Not tomorrow, but today. And all around the world, there are folks that struggle with that, or with clean water to drink. And so there are financial burdens. There are those that are caring for loved ones. Maybe it's little children, or maybe it's your aging parent, or that person who struggles because of whatever concern. Maybe it's just struggling because of an illness, or maybe they are not able to live on their own anymore. There are burdens of health concerns. People that are sick or facing not only coronavirus but all kinds of issues and concerns that change their life. There's the burden of the loss of a loved one, and there are people in our congregation and people in our midst that still deal with that. And I visited this week at the funeral home, and the lady who had lost her husband, and I said you'll be able to get through this, but not very soon, and it won't be the same when you get done. And somehow, just to be able to share from our own experiences how to deal with those kinds of things. There are people who are overwhelmed by fear. Whatever the fear might be, it might be coronavirus, or it might be what's going to happen next, or maybe it's something that's coming up. Maybe people that are afraid of this person being elected or that person. There are all kinds of fears, and some of the burdens people bear are just that inability. They're not able to do what they used to do. And we warn them, don't get up on that ladder. Or we say, yes, I know you used to be able to do that, but not anymore. Turning over the car keys, or maybe surrendering that independence that was so valuable. Maybe it's trying to teach a person how to use the computer, how to get on to Zoom or whatever website it might be that you're trying to do. And there are all kinds of things that change. I have a good friend who was kind of our third grandmother, our children's third grandmother. She lived down in Scottsburg, and the first day we met Jean, she had invited me to bring Ryan to the house because my wife was sick with the flu, and Katie was going to school, and I was supposed to go to work, and so she invited Ryan to come to her house, and I went to the front door, and I knocked, and she said, don't come in, just give me his hand. And so she kind of pulled him in the door, and it was like, okay, do I let him go in there or not? But Jean became such a wonderful friend and a good part of our family, and helped us with our burden. And then when her husband Larry passed away, she became kind of the driver, and she'd go around and pick up ladies and bring them to church and help them with Bible school and Bible study and all of those things. And now my friend Jean is in the nursing home down in Scottsburg, had a part of her foot removed because of the diabetes and all of those circulation issues, and somehow not able to do the things she used to do. And so there are burdens that people bear, all kinds of them. And so Paul says, bear one another's burdens. And that's something that makes us better together when we're able to do that. And yet there's a limit to that. He doesn't say, now, you carry the load all the time. It's your job now. They're not able to. You carry it all the time. And that's not what he says. And yet there are those who do that. There are nurses and counselors and Red Cross volunteers that are going back and helping again and so forth. But Paul's not saying this is a permanent occupation, but help those that are going through need and through times. We're better together when we bear one another's burdens. I shared a couple of weeks ago that little quotation that a burden shared is a burden halved, but a joy shared is a joy multiplied. And we're better together when we can share and bear burdens. We're better together when we examine ourselves and we become aware of our weaknesses and the things that are tempting to us. And we learn how to put things, boundaries in place so that we can avoid those kinds of things. Paul says, and he writes there, watch yourselves or you may be tempted. And Jesus said it a little bit differently. He said, take the log out of your own eye before you try to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. And so we need to be aware of our weakness. Listen for that prideful voice or that attitude of conceit or arrogance. We need to examine ourselves and so be the kind of spiritual guide and help that can be of help. We're better when we examine ourselves. We're better when we seek to carry our own weight. And as I read the passage here, was kind of confusing at first because he says, bear one another's burdens. But then a few verses down, he says, everyone should carry his own load. And so how do you figure that out? And how do you do that? And obviously, we're to take responsibility for ourselves as much as we can and for our families and for our spiritual family. And failure to step up and carry your own load means somebody else has got to help you and as they carry their own. And so it creates extra load for others if we don't carry our own. And so we go to work and you go to school if you're in school. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to do in order to carry your load and to learn so that you can be part of life and to care and take care of others. It's part of our job to do those things. And part of your weight or your responsibility is for your spiritual family. And so we appreciate those that continue to support and encourage and help build up the church and the kingdom of God. And those who volunteer to serve and to teach, and those who give their offerings, and those who pray and encourage in so many ways. And so we're better when we carry our own weight. But there are times when people can't. And those times are when we seek to help to carry their load. I believe we're better when we seek to carry our own weight. And we're better when we help restore those who are at risk, or at least to help restore them. And I think restoring those who are struggling is a team effort. It's something that we all are involved in, but sometimes you're the person that's right there by that person. You're the one that they're able to listen to. And you who are spiritual, Paul says, or those of you who are walking with the Spirit, help them. Listen to them. Humbly help that person back on the right path. Somehow we may think, well, I'm not that spiritual. I'm not the person. How can I tell them to get back in line when I struggle to stay in line myself? And I understand that. But sometimes people just need a little nudging or they need a little encouragement. And so he says, restore them gently. Restore them with that right attitude. How do you do that? Well, you pray and ask God to lead you and to give you the right words and the right things to say. And then conversations, just caring and listening and knowing them and hearing their story and understanding what's going on. And then you invite them back to church or invite them to do something with you. And maybe in gentle ways you say, well, you know, I see what you're doing, but it's probably not really the best for you. You probably need to get back in these things and find these friends in those situations. And somehow as you do that gentle admonishing, the loving actions and the going out of your way, you help restore those people. I believe we're better together. And whether we gather in the church sanctuary or whether you're watching at home on Zoom, there's still a certain amount of togetherness because we belong to each other. We belong to the body of Christ. And we seek to allow the Spirit of God to live in us. And so we seek to follow after Him and to live for Him. I believe we're better together because we're a family of faith. We're a fellowship of believers in Jesus, and we need each other. We live in a world that's lonely and that struggles, and sometimes there are times that despite millions and millions of people being in a crowd, the world is lonely because they just need to know that somebody cares about them and that somebody needs them or somebody knows them. And so that family of faith, it's so crucial. We're better together because when we suffer, when we go through difficult times, there are others who have experienced that, and we share that, our heartaches and our struggles, but we share them together. We're better together because, as I mentioned last week, we have a wonderful Heavenly Father who loves us and is so good to us and so gracious. And we have an incredible family of brothers and sisters who belong to Him. We're better together as we bear one another's burdens. And I hope you're discovering that even in the midst of pandemics and elections and struggles that life abounds, I hope you're discovering the blessing of being better together, being part of a family of God, a church, a place, a community where people care for each other and who live for Jesus. And so I'm blessed, and I appreciate my spiritual family, and I appreciate the many ways that you have helped bear my burdens, and we can do that together. So we're better together because we're challenged and encouraged to bear each other's burdens. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your encouragement through brothers and sisters in our church and in our faith who come alongside and help, who show up at just the right time, or maybe, Lord, somebody that we're able to help or to encourage or bless. Lord, and somehow as we help others, it sort of helps us and it sort of encourages us. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with those who are struggling today with a burden or a load. Help us, Lord, to recognize and to see areas perhaps where we can share their load or bear their burden. Lord, we love you and we thank you for calling us by your grace. And thank you, Lord, that it's by you that we receive salvation and eternal life. Help us, Lord, to continue to remember that as we live out our lives and to share that hope and that love, that grace with others. We love you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.